In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, dear fellow redeemed by the blood of Christ. Do you know what hemophobia is? Hemophobia is the fear of blood. It's the fear of seeing blood, the fear of being exposed to blood, and especially, it's the fear of being touched by blood. Well, on this Holy Thursday, I hope that none of you have hemophobia. In fact, as a Christian, I pray that none of you have hemophobia, because know this, all our hope, all our comfort, all our peace, it rests solely on blood, specifically on being touched by blood. And our text from Exodus chapter 12 brings that out. For let's get a little background to this text first. The Israelites had been in Egypt for hundreds of years. And for many of those years, they had been slaves, and slavery was not a pleasant experience for them. So they cried out to the Lord. They begged the Lord for mercy. And the Lord showed them mercy. The Lord was in the process of delivering them from this slavery. For not only had he raised up Moses to be that earthly leader that would lead the people of Israel out of slavery and into the promised land, but perhaps more than that, the Lord had been sending a series of plagues. Plagues that not only caused pain and suffering for the Egyptians, but plagues that actually showed how powerless the Egyptian gods were, for every single plague that God sent was specifically attacking a false god of Egypt. Now in our text, the Lord had already sent 9 of the plagues, and he was about ready to send the 10th and final plague. And this 10th and final plague would be the greatest one of all, for in this 10th and final plague, God would come down and kill the firstborn son of everyone living in Egypt. It didn't matter who you were. It didn't matter if you were Pharaoh or a slave. It didn't matter if you were rich or poor. It didn't even matter if you were an Egyptian or an Israelite. Every single firstborn son in every single household would be killed by the destroyer. In fact, there was only one way to save your firstborn son from the destroyer. And that was only by blood, specifically by the blood of the Passover lamb. For you see, through Moses, God revealed to his people, the Israelites, what was about to happen. He revealed that the destroyer was going to come and put to death every firstborn son. And God revealed that to his people so that he could reveal to his people how their firstborn son could be spared all through that Passover lamb. For every single family was to pick out a Passover lamb, a lamb that did not have blemish or defect, and they were to take care of that lamb for 4 days until they sacrificed it. And before eating that lamb as a family, they were to take the blood of that Passover lamb and they were to touch the doorpost of their house with that blood, painting the blood on the doorpost of their houses. And when the destroyer saw the blood of the Passover lamb on the doorpost of the houses, the angel of death, the destroyer, would pass over that house, and the firstborn son would be saved. That was it. That was the only way the firstborn son could be saved from the destroyer. It was only by the blood of the Passover lamb touching the door frames of the houses. And the same is true with you today. It's the only way you can be saved from the destroyer. It's only by being touched by blood, specifically by the blood of Jesus Christ, your Savior. For it's not hard to see all the connections between the Passover lamb and Jesus, right? That Passover lamb had to be without blemish and defect because Jesus would be without sin, never disobeying once. That Passover lamb had to be killed because Jesus had to be killed on the cross. And on top of that, the blood of the Passover lamb had to touch the door frames of the houses, just like the blood of Jesus has to touch your heart if you're going to be spared. That's it. That's the only way. For did you notice how adamant God was that the people stay inside of the houses that had been touched by blood? He said, "None of you are to go outside of your house until morning." And can you imagine being a parent on that night? Can you imagine how stringent you would be to make sure that all your children would stay inside of that house that was touched with blood? The life of your firstborn son was at stake. It literally was a life and death situation. For if someone went out of the house, out of the place that had been touched by the blood of the Passover lamb, then the destroyer would come and he would put to death the firstborn son. It was that simple. It was only inside of the place that had been touched by blood where the people would be safe. That was it. Can you imagine being a parent that night? Would have been crazy. But God was impressing this truth upon his people. He was impressing that it's only by you and me being in the place that has been touched by blood that we can be saved. And so how does that happen today? How are we touched by blood today? Well, first off, you are touched by blood when you remember your baptism by confessing your sins and hearing that you're forgiven. For your baptism was the first place that you were touched with blood. Because the waters of your baptism was not just ordinary water, but it is water used by God's command and connected with God's word, as our Lutheran catechism states. And therefore, when the waters of baptism touched your head, you were touched by the blood of Christ. And now, every time you confess your sins and hear you're forgiven, which is the fourth part of baptism in our catechism, every time you confess your sins and hear you're forgiven, as happened a few minutes ago right here, every time that happens, you are once again being touched by the blood of Christ, and all your sins are being removed. I think it's important to state that baptism and absolution, you are touched by the blood of Christ and all your sins are removed. That's one of the ways you are touched by Jesus' blood. But it's not the only way. There are others. And on this night that our Lord was betrayed, we can't help but think about what he did in that upper room when he instituted the sacrament of Holy Communion for you and for me. For let's go back to our text just for a little bit. Remember, God told the Israelites that this is something they were to remember for generations, right? He said, "You shall observe these instructions as a perpetual regulation for you and your descendants." And he even goes on as to saying, when you are celebrating this Passover and your children ask the question, what is all going on? You're to explain to them about the Passover, explain how that firstborn son was saved because he stayed inside that house that had been touched with blood. Jesus wanted that truth passed down to generation, to generation, to generation. And that includes your generation. And my generation as well. We're to remember how these firstborn sons were saved because they were in the place that was touched with blood. In fact, that's why Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, as he was celebrating the Passover with his disciples one final time, it's why Jesus instituted the sacrament of Holy Communion on this night. It was all to remind you of the blessings of being touched by the blood of Christ. For you see, in that upper room, Jesus took bread. And he said about that bread, "Take and eat, this is my body." And then he took the cup. And he said about the cup, "Take and drink, this is my blood." Yes, the very body and the very blood of Jesus that hung on the cross, the very body and the very blood of Jesus that took on your sin and won salvation for you in, with, and under the bread and wine, when you come forward for communion, you are receiving that very body and that very blood of Jesus. That's why when you come forward for Holy Communion, you are being touched with blood, just like the doorposts of the houses were being touched with blood, as the blood of Christ is literally touching your lips, being poured down your throat, and going inside of you. Think about that. It's just so easy to go through the motions when we come forward to receive Holy Communion, right? It's so easy to think we're just eating a little bread and drinking a little wine, for after all, Jesus' body is really up in heaven. That's where his body and blood is, so it can't possibly be in with and under the bread and wine here on this altar. It's so easy to think that way. Many people in this world think that way. That's completely wrong. For when you receive Holy Communion, you are actually partaking of the real, actual body of Jesus. And when you are receiving Holy Communion with the wine, you are partaking of the real, actual blood of Jesus. And that's the way it has to be. It has to be Jesus' very body and blood, the body he gave up for you on the cross, the blood he shed for you on the cross. It has to be his real, actual body and blood that you are receiving in the sacrament. It's the only way you can be saved from the destroyer. But let's go back to the Passover. It had to be the real, actual blood of the Passover lamb painted on the door frames, right? You couldn't kill a cow and paint a cow's blood up on the door frames of your houses and say this cow's blood represents the Passover lamb. No. It was only the actual blood of that Passover lamb was the only blood that could save that firstborn son, the only way the destroyer would pass over that house. And so it is today. It can't just be bread and wine that you're partaking of. No. It has to be the real, actual body and the real, actual blood of your God, the body and blood he gave up for you on the cross. That is the only way, that you can be spared from certain death. What a blessing it is that on this night he was betrayed, as he was celebrating the Passover one final time, Jesus instituted this sacrament of Holy Communion so that we can continue to celebrate this Passover until this world ends. What a blessing it is that he allows you, a sinner, to partake of his very body and his very blood, also that he can give you the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. What a blessing this sacrament is. And so, my dear Christian friends, throughout the rest of this week, you're going to see Jesus' body and blood do some pretty amazing things. You're going to see his body and blood whipped and beaten for you. You're going to see his body and blood hang on a cross and die for you. And then you're going to see him take back his body and blood as he rises victoriously from the grave on Easter. You're going to see his body and blood do some amazing things. But never forget, dear friend in Christ, of what he is doing with his body and blood today. And every time you come forward to receive this blessed meal, he's giving you his actual body and his actual blood for you to eat and to drink. And since you are being touched with blood, the blood of your Savior Jesus Christ, you can be certain that the destroyer cannot harm you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please rise as we confess the one true faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed as found in the bulletin.